Eden or anything like that. It's just about living out your everyday life as the Outflow book teaches, and not most of us here have read the book. It's listening with your eyes and with your ears. It's taking risks. It's flinging seeds of love, having compassion, showing acts of compassion, of kindness in Christ's name without any strings attached. It's about living a new normal where we choose to live a Jesus-centered life as opposed to a self-centered life. As I mentioned early on in the series, one of the key foundations verses for our Outflow series was in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And so I'd like to read this with you. Why don't you read this with me again as we carry on? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I think this verse here gives us encouragement because, by us taking the step of faith to step out and to outreach to others and evangelize to others and do missions with others is not by our strength, but by the strength of God. And that's what the scriptures give us, that promise. So again, going back to this whole idea of the fountain image, as God's love flows into us at the top tier, we in turn allow God's love to flow out of us into our families and friends, our community, and our world around us. Because as Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow out from him. Well, this morning, you've heard enough from the pastors to all the messages. Well, this morning we want to hear from you how the Outflow campaign has impacted you, influenced you, even challenged you. As a church body, I say this often, all the teaching and all the speaking doesn't always come from the pastors. It comes from the members of the body of Christ as well. And so from your experience, you will encourage us. And so I'd like to invite this morning Kathy Wong. She has volunteered to come to share with us some of her thoughts about the Outflow series. And I believe Tiffany Tong is here. Is Tiffany here? Oh, there she is. Okay, and Tiffany's going to be coming up as well to kind of share with us what's been going on in her fellowship, which is on the Cantonese side in True Fellowship, and how they've been using the material as well. So I'd like to invite Kathy and Tiffany to come on up, and I'll just give them a couple of minutes to share with us. Okay, who's going first? Okay, Kathy,
I can do first.
Okay, Kathy, go first. Okay.
Well, good morning, everyone. You can hear me, all right?
Morning.
When Pastor Sherman asked me to share, some of my thoughts, after reading the Outflow book, as most of you have already done, I just feel that, a couple of minutes, might not be long enough, for me to share, a lot of the things that I have learned from this book. But just, take a couple important ones out from this book and I can share, with you. After reading it, and I'm hoping that I can be more an Outflow person and I could outflow more of Christ's love, to my family, my church, my workplace, and my community. And this is the whole idea, how I learned, from this one here. And not that, we're not doing it, but I think we're not doing it enough. We can do actually more beyond what we could. So that's the main part that I have learned, from Outflow concepts. And in a couple incidents that happened in the past, and it really bothered me, from the personal conflicts, from work and then, from the other place. And I feel that it really bothered me. And that was almost no way out that I could get out from that kind of, troublesome. So I did pray a lot. And I did try different ways. But you know, it may be just in you know, coincidence, you know, after I read this book or during the time that when I was reading this book, and I think God is really working in my life. Mm-hmm. And God asked me, you know, to step out, you know, even more. You thought, you know, you are already step out beyond of your comfort zone or your boundary, but actually your boundary can be even more bigger. So so I did try. You know, recently, and these two incidents already resolved, and you know, outflow concepts, you know, help me, you know, to be relaxed more, just because I could do more, you know, with God's help, God's grace, I could do more, and I could be relaxed more. So from page 120. Talking about loving families and friends toward Jesus. And as we all know, we must love our families, there's no doubt. And to me, it's no problem to love my family members. But to friends, sometimes we have good friends, bad friends, and then sometimes, you know, we have loving friends, and then we have not so lovely friends, you know. So, but to me, you know, that also, you know, can be joining off my boundaries. We can love all friends. And this one, encouragement, outflows, you know, encourage me to reflect the love from God as they talk about the sun and moon concept. The moon doesn't have light, and what with the sun's light, that the moon can reflect the light from the sun. So that explains to me that we Christians are the moon. We have no light at all. You know, if we don't have the sunlight, the love, the light, you know, from God, we cannot reflect the light, you know, of God to the others. Since God's love is there already, He loved us first before we loved Him. So we can do more, actually. You just put a little bit more trust and apply to a little bit more exercise, you know, to our daily life. Actually, we could all do that. And then also on page 211, talking about love in action. Now, it's not just so much from this page only. It's actually on every chapter. It asks us to do a little more, like, to get your feet wet, right? I don't know how many of you, you know, like to get your feet wet. And when I first, you know, look at this, no, I may be the first one, you know, would say, no, I don't want to get my feet wet, because I always like to get my feet dry and clean. And if I got my feet dry and clean, why I need to make my feet wet, right? So, and that also reflects something to me, that we may all in the comfortable zone, and sometimes God just asks us, you know, to get out of your comfort zone to do something. Sometimes we may all need to be called out of the dry and comfortable area and get our feet wet. And once we try to step out of that zone, and, you know, amazingly, the result, you know, can come out way more than what we thought, you know, we could get. So that's all I can share with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Everyone, I'm Tiffany from Truth, and Amy was supposed to come up here with me, but she's sitting at the back, so you guys can bug her later. So you guys might wonder why the Cantonese side fellowship decided to do the outflow as well, or for at least our fellowship. It's because most of us prefer to read in English, and we're glad to join you guys with the outflow program. So I think this book has really challenged our whole entire fellowship into expanding our thoughts about how to live an outflow lifestyle versus an inward lifestyle. And it really expanded our thinking as well of the different things that we can do. So I really remember one of our group members shared with us that, you know, a lot of times that when they're driving and there's guys that come up, you know, to your car and ask you for money, right? And often we just kind of like look away, and then we're just trying to pretend that we don't see them. But instead of doing that, this book gave us many, many ideas, such as we can print cards that has, you know, that's right, God loves you and things like that. And we thought, wow, you know, actually little things can really do a lot. And what inspired us the most about this book is perhaps this book is not a lifestyle, but it's not a program, but it's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it's something that really can be ingrained in us, and it's not something that we can just do for a few months and forget about. This is something we can take away and practice for a very long time. And perhaps one part that really spoke to myself was it's not the magnitude of our action, but the amount of love we put into them that matters. And I remember one night after reading this book, I walked by 7-Eleven, and there was a person that was sitting outside, this, you know, this homeless person sitting there. Normally, you know, I just kind of look at them, and again, I look away, very ashamed to say so, but that's what I have always done, right? And I was thinking, wow, what am I? Am I really living like a outward lifestyle when I don't pay attention to the little things, or not little things, to the important people that God loves? So for the very first time, I asked him, I was like, can I get you something? I was so scared. I was very surprised how scared I was. And I was thinking, wow, you know, this is, and I thought I was a really loving Christian, right? And then when I went and I asked, and then he was like, yeah, I would love a hot chocolate. So I went in, I came back out, he was gone. And then the whole time I had dinner that night, I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what happened. And I was thinking, how come it's so hard to give? And so I went back, because the dinner that place beside 7-Eleven was really close. So I went back, and then I saw him again. So I gave him the hot chocolate and also a bag of cookies. And on top I wrote, God loves you. Mm-hmm. And after doing that, I felt, wow, it's not that hard. If we really just, you know, give it a try and really pay attention to the people around us and really listen with our eyes, as the book has said. So that's all I have to share today. Thank you.
And, you know, I hope you get encouraged from that, from both stories. It really isn't that hard to show God's love in a practical way to the world around us. It does require us to pay a bit more attention to the world around us. It does require us to step out in faith a little bit. But it is worth it, you know, and in that way, you are also blessed as well. We want to give a bit of time as well to the rest of you, to kind of, if you know, people here have a story they want to share, because it's always great to hear. So we want to give a couple of minutes. I think Amy wants to share some story. Okay, come on up, Amy.
Just as I promised to Tiffany, so I'll do a little sharing here. One thing I remember from the book is, like, it is so easy. How easy it is to do outreach to the community and to the world. Because, like, before I started reading this book, I thought that all the people I outreach to is to my friend, my family, and that's it. Because I feel it's so weird to just pop up to people and say, God loves you. Because it's just weird thing to do, right? So, but then in the book, it says, like, there are so many examples. It's so easy to do. It's just, like, maybe put an extra dollar on the table when you dine out, when you're going out to eat, and then just write a little note that says, like, God loves you. And then there's one, I remember there's, like, on page 154, there's, like, some data. So for a church of 250 people, they can reach more than 1,000 people a week. And then hundreds, I think it's, like, 1,800 people a year. You can, like, imagine how many people there are. So that's one thing I think is, like, really challenging. And then, like, just, like, how easy it is to outreach your community. Just like what Raymond and Xavier did on Friday night, they set up a coffee corner, and Auntie Kathy, they set up a coffee corner for people on Friday night when they were going out for trick or treats. Like, just like something so little that everyone, like every single one of us can do. Mm-hmm. And like for the outreaching the world, like I always thought that we have to go on a mission trip to go somewhere far, far away, but actually it's not. Like, as like we are doing the Christmas shoebox this year, we are just outreaching to the kids that is like from the other side of the world, which is like not every one of us have a chance to go. We're so, yeah. There's like something so easy to do, and we are so blessed, and there's like so many things that we can do. So yeah, this is like my little sharing here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else like to share a little bit? Last Friday it was a really good opportunity. We did the coffee garage, and you know, Auntie Kathy was here, Raymond was here, and myself and Boaz, Leanne, and Timmy were here too, and they helped us to set up. And it was a really neat experience. You know, we had people walking by, And they really appreciate the fact that we were out there and we were having hot chocolate and coffee, and it was a really cold and wet night, and people really appreciate it, and it was just really neat to see that. How about last Sunday? I know I wasn't there with you at the Gather and Give Warehouse. Anybody like to share how that went and what you got from that experience? Anyone? I hear there were like 48 people who went, so I mean, you guys were there, I wasn't, so you gotta tell me how it went. Anyone? Oh, Hazel's coming, okay. Come on up, Hazel.
Well, I'm not very good at speech making on the spot.
All right.
But I don't know. I think it was cool because we actually got to like work directly with like we can see what happens when donations come in, because you know how usually we're the ones who are donating and then we don't really know what happens to it like in the process. We only know that it helps other people. And then I guess it was just kind of cool to see that like what happens in the process, because there's actually a lot of work that goes into like donating and then making sure that like each family, we try to get each family what they need most, like because we were, or should I give like a little?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, what we were doing, we were just making care packages, I guess, for families, and then I guess it was newly moved families, like I guess they just went into a new house or something, or a new apartment, and then we were just trying to get all these supplies together, like linens and kitchen stuff and like bathroom stuff and like even clothes. I saw some clothes and stuff, so I guess that's what we were doing. And then so we were collecting all these supplies and sending them out to the people who needed them, and I think it was just really cool to see that we were actually directly helping these people. And whatever we gave them, they would use, like we were sure that they would use and they would appreciate a lot. So I guess that's why it was a very cool experience. It was kind of eye-opening for some of us that we were helping so much. And yeah. All right.
Thank you. All right. Well, how about any praise items? You know, this morning it's praise and worship, right? We want to give thanks for God. We want to praise God for what He's working in our lives or doing in our lives this morning. Praise items. Anyone have any praise items? Thanksgiving items? Prayer items? Okay, I'll start us off. You know, my baby daughter's here, so I praise God for that. Yeah. Someday we'll tell you how the delivery went, but not too gory right now. So we'll save that for another day. How about anyone else? I'm sure God is working in your lives, and I'm sure you've got stories to tell of His faithfulness and what He's doing. Anyone? I don't know, everyone's a little shy right now, right? Yeah. Yep, Theo. Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, tying back to the outreach study thing for Together and Give, at that point I was really thankful that God allowed me to show my talents, you could say. Because at the place, they were actually lacking a lot of blankets and quilts for the elderly home people. And at that point, when we were all in groups, and then they were saying,
Thank you. Because I have one more person. One more person. And then we'll carry on with the communion. Anyone? Well, I do encourage us to always be thankful, always give praise to God whenever we can. You know, that's part of the whole the meeting together as a fellowship. That's what it's all about. It's not about just coming here, singing some songs, hearing a message. It's about this time where we gather together and encourage one another through what God is working in our lives this morning. What is God working in our lives? So we're going to encourage you to do this more often. We're going to try and do a couple more praise and worships next year. And so do be prepared because we're going to do this. Well, this morning, before we take the Lord's Supper or the communion, I have a little devotional for you as we prepare to receive the communion this morning. It's entitled, What Jesus Did. You know, if I were to ask any of you here this morning what WWJD stood for, I'm sure you could tell me. What does WWJD stand for? What would Jesus do? In fact, yes, that's right. Everyone here knows that famous, the phenomenon that happened last couple of years ago, where it was there to remind us of Jesus' commandments and actions when we face everyday situations which compromise or challenge our faith in our school, our workplaces, our homes, and our neighborhoods. You know, it's a great tool to help us on focusing on our living out our Christian life faithfully. But I'd like to suggest a different approach to the same question. And I'd like to ask the question, what did Jesus do? Because now, instead of, basically what we do is we're going to be moving from the theoretical to the practical, which I think has a greater significance for our Christian living today. So, what did Jesus do? You know, if you read through the Gospels, here are just some examples that I've come up with. Jesus fed the hungry. We see that when he feeds the 5,000. Jesus listened when he hung out with Nicodemus, and he just let Nicodemus ask him questions, and he listened and he explained. Jesus cried when Lazarus died. Jesus loved. There's so many instances where Jesus loved. Jesus took chances. Jesus risked his reputation, especially with the story of when he met the Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus served. And we see that in the example of the foot washing at the Last Supper. You know, this is not an exhaustive list of the Gospels. This is not an exhaustive list, as the Gospels do give us more examples. But this small sample here tells us as Christians how to live our faith, as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 2, admonishes us to be imitators of God as dearly loved children and to live a life of love. This is Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So really, the question isn't what would Jesus do in any given situation, but really what Jesus did and are we willing to do it? You know, Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, which, you know, isn't to be interpreted as to mean that loving Jesus is to keep his commandments, but rather keeping Jesus' commandments comes first out of our love for him. You know, it's not about earning brownie points with God. It's not about earning his favor, but rather having this inner desire that's compelled by his love working through us. You know, I hope, again, as I said, one of the key ideas from this whole outflow campaign is that outreach and evangelism isn't some slick gospel presentation, but really it's about living out your faith in practical ways that show God's love to others. That's basically all it is. And especially to people that we would consider untouchable, people that we would not associate with, people who are marginalized, people who are hurt, people who are dying, literally. Well, Jesus examples this practical love in John chapter 13, verse 1 through 17. This tells us that on his last night on earth, as he was having his last supper with his closest friends, he showed them the full extent of his love by performing the menial task of washing their feet. In John chapter 13 reads, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him." Moving on to verse 12. "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you as an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." You know, the custom of washing feet in Jesus' day was an act of humility. It was an act of service. It was a mark of honor if you were a guest at someone's home. You know, through his actions, Jesus showed his disciples his willingness to humble himself and sacrifice himself for them, even to the cross. Jesus was teaching his disciples that if we seek to follow him, that they too need to meet the needs of others self-sacrificially too. And in so doing, lead them to the cross. And he even gives us this warning that if we do not follow the example of Jesus, is to exalt oneself above him and to live in pride. Let me say that again. To not follow the example of Jesus is to exalt oneself above him and to live in pride. You know, the symbol of the towel and the bowl is as powerful as the symbol of the bread and the cup that we will be taking this morning. But you know, they're not to be separated, but rather are to go hand in hand. You know, on the one hand, the towel and the bowl signify our willingness to humble ourselves before God and others, and serve them in love. And on the other, the bread and the cup signifies Jesus' sacrifice and the hope that we have in him. You know, we may not have the towel and the bowl today anymore. We don't use this sort of custom to show practical love to others. But there are still relevant ways in which you can do this. You know, and the book has given you many examples. You know, the coffee garage was an example that we did on Friday. Giving someone free food, giving extra tip at a meal. You know, this last Halloween, our neighbor had a fall down her stairs, and she actually broke her ankle as she was coming down to give out candy to the kids. And my wife and I, we found out about it, and last night we decided, you know, we're going to show our neighbor God's love. And so we took some frozen meals and we went over and I said, here's some frozen meals from us. We know you had an accident, and we hope this will bless you and that you keep, you know, stay off your feet. And just like that, you know, we've shown them in a practical way what God's love is today. You know, as we prepare to take the elements again of the Lord's Supper, you know, we need to remember, yes, and we need to rejoice in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. You know, and we like this part. We like the receiving of the bread and the cup, because it guarantees or it assures us of our hope in our salvation. But we need to realize that it doesn't stop there. That this hope that we have, this salvation that we have, carries on in the symbol of the towel and the bowl. And it seems that we always seem to forget that part. We remember the bread and the cup, but we forget the towel and the bowl. And so this morning, as we prepare to receive the bread and the cup, I encourage you to reflect on these thoughts about what we've learned through this entire Outflow series, what this little devotional, what the music, the singing, everything we've done this morning, how they all combine together to again remind us of what it is that God has done for us, and how we are in turn to example and imitate Christ. It is the tradition of our church here that we invite all baptized believers to partake in the bread and the cup. But this morning, you have also made a profession of faith in Christ, but have not yet been baptized. We do encourage you as well to join us in the taking of the communion. Will those who are taking the communion please rise? And we invite the deacons to please come forward. When you receive the bread and the cup, please hold on to it, and then we will take it together. Just one song will be fine.